Everybody just take a seat. Okay. I want to welcome everybody. It's about 9:55. I want to welcome everybody for coming. Thank you for being here, showing your interest in what we have to present to you. We look forward to any input that you have to give us. I have a few administrative items I want to go through first before we officially get off to the meeting. We have audio minutes of this meeting. So if you would, if you have questions, please speak up. The microphone is up here. It picks up pretty good, but if you would, please speak up. It is an open meeting. That's why we are having minutes of it. Your cell phone, if you would, please silence them. We had a meeting in college, this same meeting for the lower part of Basin College Station Tuesday, and we had this same meeting in Waco yesterday for the central part, and I told them that if a cell phone went off, David's going to start the presentation over at the beginning again. He's got 399 slides, something like that. Well, two cell phones went off in College Station, and out of the generosity of my heart, I didn't make a start over the beginning. But if you would, please sign up your cell phone. We don't have handouts of the presentation, because it is a lot of slides, and it is a big presentation, but you can find it, and you can look at it at your leisure at our website, which is www.brazosgwater.org, and there will be another slide up here. David's got one that has that web address too. You can find all the information about our plan, all the information about us, Brazos G, and you can find, listen to past audio minutes of meetings. You can see all of our agendas and information. It's all right there on the website. So with that, before we do anything else, I'm going to start with an invocation. And I'd ask Kevin Conner if he would give that for us, please.
Join me in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the blessing of life that you bestowed upon each one of us. We give thanks, Lord, that we are privileged to live in a country and a state where we're free to come and gather together. And we ask, O Lord, that as we meet today and discuss important items which not only affect us, but will affect the generations to come, that you would be with us and give us wisdom, and that we might have thoughts and have a product that we come out with, a water plan for this part of Texas that would benefit those in the future. We ask, O Lord, that you be with us today, guide us, and give us strength. For we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kelly. So I have some introductions. Before I do my introductions, I want to ask Tommy O'Brien if you could come up here. We have a special guest with us today, and I'm going to let Tommy O'Brien, one of the members of our group, introduce him.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys coming. I'm Tommy O'Brien. I represent municipalities on the Region G Planning Group. And right now I'm going to ask Mayor Anthony Williams if he would come forward. He wanted to take this special opportunity to welcome everyone here.
Thank you, Tommy. Well, welcome to Abilene, the key city of the big country. This is a very important conversation, and I know your input is needed and warranted. You know, a number of things are important, but at the top of the list is water. And so I'm glad this session is going to be had, and I'm very glad that of the three meetings that this group has the wisdom to select the very most important part of Region G to go at the very last. And so welcome to Abilene. As a good steward of the city, I'd be remiss if I'd encourage you while you're in the key city to spend some money. But Godspeed to the conversation that will occur. And I look forward, Tommy, to telling me all the great things that we'll discuss and talk about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
appreciate the city of Abilene for providing these facilities, Tommy. Thank you for you and your office and working in conjunction to get all this put together. We appreciate that. And so my name is Wayne Wilson. I have the privilege, esteemed privilege, honor of being chair of this group and these group of people. It is 23 of them. Some of them are here. We had some at the Waco meeting. We had some in the lower basin at the College Station meeting. And I want to introduce our vice chair is here, Ms. Gail Peake. We have Ms. Lucy Dunn, Mr. Tommy O'Brien, which you've already met, Mr. Dale Adams, Mr. Gary Myers, and Mr. Kelly Kiner to get our invitation. Thank you all for being here. They look forward to, just like me, of hearing what you have to say if you have any input. There's a couple others I want to introduce. Our administrative agent, who is Brazos River Authority. He works for Brazos River Authority, but there are administrative agents. That's Steve Hammond right here. If you have any contact with us, it's probably going to him for this next guy I'm going to introduce. And our technical consultant is HDR Engineering, and that's David Dunn, represents them. He is our technical consultant for Brazos G. So, that's introductions. So, somebody asked me, why are we here?
Hey, why are we here?
Good question. Glad to ask. We're here because we want to know what y'all think, what your input is about your specific plan that we have or are going to present, or about an entity that you're interested in. That's why we're here. So we've been working on this for 5 years, 23 of us, plus our technical consultants and their team. And this is what's called the draft initially prepared plan. So we have to turn in a draft first. This is before we turn in our plan, we want to hear your input. If you have a question during the presentation, please feel free to ask it. Y'all too. Y'all feel free to ask a question, give us your input or your comments. That's what we're here for. So I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to turn it over to our technical consultant, David, and he'll do the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I'm going to kind of walk up here. It's a little bit easier to talk. I'll try not to turn around and look at the screen too often. My name is David Dunn. I'm a senior project manager with HDR Engineering. I've got two of our staff members here, Brittany Duarte in the middle there, and Daniel Brazier. And if you have any questions about the specifics of what I'm going to show generally here, your entity's population projections, water demands, how all that stuff was put together, they've got that information on their laptops. We can get, you know, we can deep dive as deep as you want to, and we can stay here as long as you want to. We stayed about an hour and a half after the meeting yesterday in Waco, answering questions and getting into some of the nuts and bolts of how the plan is put together and some of the background information. So that's what we're here for. We're here to educate, but also get educated, which is what you guys think about what we put together. This is an outline of today's agenda. We've been through the introductions. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we'd like to accomplish out of this meeting today. I'm going to give a brief overview of the regional water planning process and kind of get a better understanding of what we're doing and why. Talk about next steps in that process, because we're kind of right towards the back end of the planning process. I'm going to present draft water supply plans that we've developed for the water utilities in the Big Country area, essentially the upper Brazos G area. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of these water user groups. We talk about water user groups, it's really water utilities that are, we're going to recommend having those needs left unmet. And then talk a little bit about also water providers, Chris, you're here. And then any comments and discussion. If you have a question, a comment on something I'm saying, raise your hand, I'll recognize you, and we'll just make this more of a free-flowing conversation rather than just me standing up and lecturing hopefully. Then through introductions, meeting goals, we'd like to present an overview of the planning process just to help educate you, present these draft plans, and then obtain some feedback on what you guys think about what we put together. So in 1997, the Texas legislature instituted this regional water planning process. They broke the state up into 16 planning areas. We are in the Brazos G planning area, which is this white area here. Essentially the middle part of the Brazos River Basin, from the Garza Kent County line on down to the Brazos River Basin that we end at Hempstead. And below that is Region H, the Houston area. Above us is Region O, which is the Lubbock area. The regional water planning groups developed the 16 regional water plans. We're currently developing the 2021 regional water plans. The Texas Water Development Board will take those 16 regional plans, roll them together, combine them into the 2022 state water plan. And then we start the process all over again. So why is this regional planning process important? First off, if you have a water project that you want certain types of funding from the Water Development Board, your project either has to be at least consistent with what's in the plan, or if you want funding through the State Water Implementation Fund for Texas or SWIFT fund, then your project has to be specifically identified in the plan if you want some of those funds. SWIFT funding is a program. Two legislative cycles, maybe three ago, we took $1 billion out of the rainy day fund, set it aside, had to do a constitutional amendment to do that, which the voters approved. And it basically allows the Water Development Board to use that as seed money for larger grants, or not grant, but larger loan programs where they're buying down the interest rate. So you can get money for your water project at a lot cheaper rate than you could on government bond. It's not the only funding program the Water Development Board has, and there's other funding programs that are often more advantageous than SWIFT, but SWIFT is a good program. If you want to get a water right permit, an amendment from TCDQ, the test from them is your permit amendment at least has to be not inconsistent with the regional water plan. I guess that's a little bit less inconsistent. Some groundwater conservation districts for permits require consistency with the plans as well. And we also, this whole planning process for the last 20 years that we've been doing this really has educated the public, it's educated local officials, it's educated our legislature about water issues in Texas. How do we meet the future water needs of Texans as Texas continues to grow? Little statistics about the Brazos G area. We are 37 counties right here. In those 37 counties, we develop plans for 538 water user groups. And a water user group on the municipal side is a retail water utility or a public water system that sells 100 acre feet of water per year or more. 100 acre feet of water on an average day is a little less than a tenth of an MGD. So we get down to pretty small. We have a couple prison units that are water user groups this round. They've recently reduced the size of water user group definitions, and because of that, between the 2016 plan and this 2021 plan, we've added about 45 new municipal water user groups. We have a trailer park now that actually is large enough to be a water user group. We have something very small to something as large as City of Abilene, City of Waco, City of Bryan College Station, some of our larger municipal water groups. Then on a county basis, we have uses for manufacturing, livestock, irrigation, steam, electric, and mining aggregated out to each of the counties on a county-wide basis. So there's one each of those for each of the 37 counties. And then we have 10 what we call wholesale water providers. Wholesale water provider is simply a public water provider that sells water to other entities. Doesn't sell retail water, it doesn't have any retail water customers. We have 10 of those. Brazos River Authority is the largest in the region. West Central Texas Water District is kind of the big wholesale water provider up here operating under Creek Reservoir. The members of Brazos G represent legislatively mandated entities, public, municipalities, water districts, the environment. Two planning cycles ago, we added groundwater management areas. So if you are in a groundwater management area that touches a part of the Brazos G area, you have an interest group representation there. So we have five groundwater This is a diagram of the overall water planning process. The first thing we do, and actually it's kind of the last thing we do, is describe the region. As we start this, we don't want to do our region description and then have it sit there for 4 years and then finally publish it with the plan. So we kind of do that part last. But it is called task one of our plan. Basically, we define who the water users are, the physiographic areas, the geology, the environment. Right to that description of the region provides a good overview of this really geographically diverse area that is Region G. It's probably the most geographically diverse area, starting up here all the way down through Bryan College Station and Hempstead. There's a lot of changes in landscape, changes in hydrology, changes in water use, changes in economic issues. It's very diverse. And then the first really big step is step number two, where we assess population and water demand reduction. So we did this about 2.5 years ago. We sent draft information out for review to each of the water use groups, all 37 county judges, the groundwater district, all the councils of government, wholesale water providers. We sent that out for review. We actually modified a lot of the population water demand. The Water Health Board develops population projections on a county-by-county basis. Actually, they take those from the state and model them. They project them on a decadal basis, starting in 2020 through 2070. State demographer those. And then we take those county population projections, and the Texas Water Development Board disaggregates that down into the various municipal water user groups within the county. Keep the county total the same, divided up amongst the different retail water utilities and public water systems. Based upon census tract information and certificates of convenience and necessity, other services. And then whatever doesn't fit into, or whatever hasn't been placed into one of those municipal water user groups gets placed into another category called the county other, which is a municipal water user group itself. It consists of folks that are served by water systems that are smaller than that 180 feet per year level. It also includes landowners that have places out in the country with their own domestic supply wells, that sort of thing. So it's all the folks that aren't served by essentially by a retail water utility. Then we take that population and we look at how much water each person on average uses per day. We call it gallons per capita per day. And that's based upon water use reports that are submitted to the Water Development Board by the water utilities. We take that GBCD number, and this time of planning is based upon 2011, generally, which was a hot, dry year. So we're trying to look at water demands under a hot, dry year condition. We reduce that GBCD every decade slightly to account for the statewide Plumbing Fixtures Act, where we know that folks are going to start retrofitting existing high-flow toilets with more efficient models, high-flow shower heads to low-flow shower heads. And, you know, that's a process that's going to happen over time. So we'll see the GPCD actually drop over time. And that's built into the demand projections. Then we simply multiply the population in each decade times that estimated GPCD in each decade, and we get a water demand. That's how much water we think that entity is going to need to provide to its retail water customers.
There you go.
In each decade. Yes, sir.
Do you have a mic you could use?
Mic? Yes, I do. Okay. There we go. Got it. Okay. If I start to drop the mic, just let me know.
One of us will let you know.
What is something in the audience? Good. So those are the water demand projections. And then for these county aggregated, Water Development Board provides estimates of future water use for irrigation, mining, steam electric, manufacturing, and livestock demands. So that's the second step here. Then one of the largest things we have to do as a technical consultant to the planning group is to determine how much water supply do we currently have available to each of these water user groups. We use a couple of tools to do that. The first thing we use is the surface water availability models that the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality maintains and operates, where we look at a repeat of historical period of record, how much water is available to each water right in the Brazos G area through a repeat of the drought record. And then we assign that based upon who owns the water rights to the different water user groups and wholesale water providers. Then on the groundwater side, we do a very similar thing, but we look at well inventories that the Water Development Board maintains, and we assign out available groundwater supplies based upon well capacities. And then we combine all those and we assign a supply to each of our water user groups. And sometimes the supplies go down over time, reservoir yields typically go down over time. On the groundwater side, we are limited to what's called the modeled available groundwater. And I mentioned these groundwater management areas. Those are collections of groundwater conservation districts that get together, and for each of the resources that they jointly manage, they determine what's the desired future condition of that aquifer system. It can be a maintenance of spring flows, it can be a limited amount of drawdown, anything you can numerically place to define how that aquifer system is going to look into the future, they identify that. Then the Water Board takes those desired future conditions and decides how much water can be withdrawn from that aquifer system through 2070 and not violate the desired future conditions. So we're limited in our planning to whatever that modeled available groundwater or MAG number is. We can't assign supplies greater than that MAG number. It's one of the constraints that the legislature has put on the planning process. So sometimes we have to prorate everybody's groundwater supplies down if we add up all of their well capacities and the supplies they could get from the wells, and if it's greater than the MAG, we have to prorate everybody down. And that happens in a few of the counties for a few of the aquifer systems. Then we calculate needs or shortages, and this is kind of the higher math part of what we do. We basically take everybody's supply, subtract off their demands, and the difference is either a surplus or a shortage. And I'll use it interchangeably. I'll say shortage or need. So a need is not the total demand. The need is the projected deficit or shortage that we're showing them having off of their current supplies. So I'll use need and shortage kind of interchangeably. And then we evaluate different water management strategies that we can recommend as a planning group to meet those future needs. The first water management strategy we have to identify and consider is water conservation. For municipal entities, the planning group has set a target of 140 gallons per capita per day. So if a municipality is currently exhibiting a GPCD greater than 140, we assume a 1% per year reduction is achievable through water conservation programs until they reach that goal of 140. In Williamson County, we've actually set that goal at 120. A little bit more aggressive in Williamson County. So the first thing we do is look at conservation. Whether or not an entity has needs, if they're above 140, the planning group is going to recommend additional conservation to get them down to 140, whether or not they have sufficient supplies to meet those needs. And then for the non-municipal uses, we assume a 3, 5, and then 7% reduction in overall water use for irrigation, mining, livestock, and manufacturing. And the planning group has opted not to recommend water conservation for steam electric uses, as they view the water as a commodity, and the water costs steam electric power generators money, so they're going to use it as efficiently as possible. And then assigning a conservation to all the various technologies that are at each of these different power generating facilities would be very difficult to do. So we've opted not to recommend conservation for steam electric systems. So we develop and assign or recommend these water management strategies to each of the water user groups and also water providers. And what we're presenting today is the recommended set of water supply plans for the water user groups in the Big Country area, essentially in that upper part of Grasses to Erie. So what we're presenting today is a draft of the draft plan. We're in the process of preparing what we call the initially prepared plan. Well, initially prepared means draft plan, it's not the final plan. So this is a draft of the draft. There's some ways that Grasses to Erie during this process communicates with people. Wayne had mentioned our website, grassesgwater.org. You can can find meeting minutes, technical materials that we presented, you can find planning documents up there, you can get meeting notices, all that stuff. There's a lot of information. Brazos River Authority maintains that on behalf of the Brazos G Regional Water Planning Group, and their staff does a good job. It's a pretty easy to operate website. Steve maintains an email list of interested parties. I think he has well over 300 interested parties on that email list. They get meeting notices and other information sent out on a routine basis. We have planning group meetings. Typically, we have them in Waco at the Brazos River Authority's offices. Those get noticed at least 10 days in advance or 7 days.
We shoot for 7.
We shoot for 7 days in advance. And at those meetings, there's opportunity for us to take public input if you want to provide it. We send out surveys to the water user groups and county judges and wholesale water providers, people in the basin, regarding their water supplies and their population water demand projections. And we will make, either as a technical consultant, or Mr. Wilson has done some, and a few of our planning group members have actually gone out and made public presentations at community meetings and that sort of thing. We do that as time and funding allow. We will have specific public meetings to address specific issues. Winston County, with its large growth and limited water supplies, is an area where we've had several public meetings of the primary utilities in Winston County to try to get some consensus on, are the demands accurate that we're projecting? And okay, if they are, and everyone agrees they are, what's the water supply plan going to look like for Round Rock, Leander, Cedar Park, Georgetown, all the folks in Williamson County? And you can phone us, you can email us, any of the planning group members. We have about a third of our planning group members are here today in attendance. You can send information to Steve at the Reservoir Authority, or you can send information or ask questions of me as a technical consultant. And then we have the sub-regional meetings. This is something that we do that's kind of unique to the Brazos G. I don't think the other 16 regional water planning areas do this, but we are the largest geographically diverse area. It's hard for a lot of folks to travel to Waco to learn about what's going on and observe the meetings. So when we have these draft water user group plans put together, then we go on what we call the Brazos G Roadshow. We were in College Station on Tuesday, we were in Waco yesterday, and today we're in Abilene. We break the planning area into three parts, and we'll focus our presentation on, in this case, the upper Brazos G area. So where are we in the planning process? Well, we're doing these sub-regional meetings this week. February 12th is the next Brazos G planning group meeting. At that meeting, we hope to have them adopt the plan, approve us to submit the plan to the Water Development Board. There is a backup meeting scheduled for February 26th. If there's some things that the planning group is uncomfortable with adopting the plan, that gives us another couple of weeks. We'll come back to the planning group if need be to have them adopt the plan at the end of February. It is due March 3rd. We're contractually obligated as the planning group and as their technical consultant to submit the initially prepared plan to the Texas Water Development Board on March 3rd. Then after that, remember, that's a draft plan. It goes out for public and agency comment. So in April, either April 15th or April 20th, I always ask you this.
29th.
Either April 15th or April 29th, probably the 29th, we'll have an official formal public hearing on the plan. There will be notice given out 30 days prior to the public hearing. And then after the public hearing, there's a 60-day comment period where we can accept written comments following. So if you have something in the plan that you'd like to comment on officially, please do that. And we address every comment that we receive. In fact, how we address our addressing of those comments actually is a section within the plan. So if you have a comment, we will address it and put that into the plan at the back end. There's a different time period for agency comments as well, but they're under the kind of a similar clock. They have a little bit longer period than 120 days for agency comment. So over the summer, we'll address comments, make changes to the plan that we need to make based upon those comments, adopt the final plan in September, and then in October, we will submit the final plan, which will be the 2021 Brazos G Regional Water Plan to the Water Development Board. And then following that, The Waterville Board staff will take all 16 regional plans, combine them together, and come up with the 2022 state water plan. So this is a bottom-up process. 16 regions build this information up to the Waterville Board, who then develops the state plan. I'm going to present draft water supply plans for water user groups. I've kind of talked about what they are, but I'm going to present these on a county-by-county basis. So there will be a slide that comes up that has a table showing all of the water user groups in a county. And it'll show, and I'll show you in a second, it'll show what their projected surpluses or needs are. And then we'll show a separate table for each water user group that we have a plan for. And I'm only going to be showing those for which we have a strategy recommended. So there are multiple entities that have sufficient supply. If we're not recommending additional conservation, then we will just move on. We won't include them in the presentation. So the Upper Basin counties are shown here, everything above the green line. And the way I'm going to present this, I'm going to start with Knox County and then proceed east to west, west to east, and north to south as we go through. So I won't be doing them alphabetically, I'll be doing geographically, kind of marching through the region. And I will present Knox County first, give you an idea of what we're going to be doing. There's a few number of water user groups in Knox County. And then as we hit each county, I'm going to ask if anybody is interested in seeing that particular county and the plans for the user groups in that county. If no one's interested, we will move on, just in the interest of time, because there is roughly 160 slides that we don't want to go through them all if we don't have to. So Knox County, I'm going to help you read this table a little bit. We have the name of the water user group, and we're showing their surplus and shortages in 2040 and 2070. Now, there are projections starting in 2020 all the way through 2070. We show it this way as kind of the middle of the planning period and the end of the planning period, just as a kind of a shorthand. You come down here and it shows what those numbers are. If it's in parentheses, it's a negative number, meaning it's a need or they have a shortage. If it's positive, it means they have a surplus. And then over here we have comments, for example, projected shortage, see plan below. Well, this is a table that's at the very front of the section for Knox County that's in the regional plan. So we'll have the section for Knox County, and then we'll have this table, and then following that is text and tables that outline what the plan is for each of the user groups in Knox County. And then the next section is the next county in line. So these are excerpts actually from the text documents. The documents are posted on the Brazos County website if you want more information. So occasionally you will see kind of a gray bar here. Some of our water user groups are located in multiple counties. We only present them in one county, and their needs and shortages are the needs and shortages for all the counties, but we'll only present them one time. And so Baylor Special Utility District is going to be shown in the Young County plan, since it's primarily in Young County, though it does serve some water supply. So we have shortages here for Knox City, City of Mundy. County Other actually is showing a small surplus. We have a small manufacturing shortage. There is no projected steam electric demand in Knox County. And then mining, irrigation has a very large projected shortage. And then livestock, typically we set livestock supplies equal to, livestock demands equal to the local supplies, because most of that is going to be local stock tanks and small wells that are pulling out of local aquifer systems to feed those. You go to some of the other regions like Region O, where they have a lot of combined heating lots and that sort of thing. Their livestock demands are different and the supplies are different than most of the places in Region G. So looking at the city, this is the table for Knox City. At the very top, we show for each decade what their projected shortage is going to be, or surplus, in this case it is shortages, ranging from 226 acre feet to 256 acre feet. And an acre foot is enough water essentially to cover a football field a foot deep. It's an acre of water a foot deep. So the very first thing we have to look at is conservation. That's a requirement from the planning rules from the Water Development Board. So we consider conservation, and we think that they can save, based upon further reductions in their GPCD, that they can save anywhere from 17 acre feet to 54 acre feet of water. So that we count this water conservation savings as essentially a new supply. And then we have, this is their remaining shortage or need after conservation is considered. In some instances, this conservation block will be blank because their GPCD is already below 140. In the case of Knox City, they're not below 140. And then for City of Knox City, they're a customer of the North Central Texas Municipal Water District. They own and operate Miller's Creek Reservoir. That reservoir, through a repeat of the drought of record, is shown to have a zero firm yield. So the supplies are pretty tight up there. If they should have a repeat of the 50s drought, they would have problems delivering water to all of their customers. There's just not a lot of water up in that area. So City of Mundy, Knox City, all the folks that get water from North Central Texas are going to show shortages because their wholesale water provider doesn't have the reservoir yield available to serve them. Doesn't mean that every year they don't have water. It just means if we had a drought essentially equivalent to the drought of the 50s, and that continued on, then eventually they would run out of water. So the project plan that we have for them is for North Central Texas to develop what's called the Lake Creek Reservoir, which is another impoundment downstream of the existing Miller's Creek Reservoir. And it would basically foster supplies and utilize a different watershed with a different hydrology that would provide additional storage to get them through the drought. City of Mundy, pretty similar in terms of the conservation, the shortages and the conservation savings. And then we've got them, Lake Creek Reservoir as well, as the recommended strategy for them. That would actually be developed by North Central Texas. For Knox County Manufacturing, there's a little bit, no conservation recommended for Knox County Manufacturing, but we're looking at groundwater development, just go in and drill a few more wells to meet the manufacturing enterprises out of the Blaine Aquifer. And a similar plan for mining in Knox County. And the irrigation is kind of a problem. 17,000 acre feet is their largest shortage, and that's projected to occur in 2030. Doing some on-farm irrigation conservation practices can save them a couple thousand acre feet of water, but they still end up with as much as 15,000 acre feet needed countywide for irrigation. So we can meet some of those deficits with a little bit of groundwater. There's not a lot of groundwater in that area either. That's why those are small numbers. And then we are going to have to recommend that the planning cycle leave those needs unmet. And this is going to be common for a lot of irrigation and mining uses where it's just not economically feasible to develop a water supply to meet 15,000 acre feet of irrigation needs. The economies are just not there. So what would happen is during a large, prolonged drought, the fields would have to go fallow for a time, and those demands would just not be met. All right, I'm going to go county by county now, and I'm going to ask if anyone is interested in looking at this water supply plan for Kent County, and if not, we'll move on to the next county.
Back.
Gary? Okay. All right, we have the City of Jayton has a modest projected shortage. There's County Other, and then Manufacturing, Steam Electric, Mining, and Irrigation both have projected surpluses based upon their current supplies. So what do we have for the City of Jayton? They've got about 100 acre feet of shortage projected. Their GPCD is already pretty low. They're probably right at that 140, 142, 143. So dropping down to 140 gallons per capita a day is only going to give them a little bit of water conservation savings. A new water supply, though, is treatment constrained. They have water supply, but they are constrained by treatment plant capacity. So that's one of the things that can cause a water shortage in the planning process is do you or do you not have enough treatment capacity? You may have sufficient supply, but if you can't treat it, that gets counted as a water shortage. So the recommended strategy is to increase your water treatment plant capacity. And that means that that plant, if they decide to move forward with that plant expansion, would be eligible for SWIFT funding in the board, from the board. And so that would give them about a quarter of an MGD of additional plant capacity, 4/10 of an MGD, and it would take care of their shortages. And then as an alternative, we have them potentially purchasing water from the Salt Fork Water Quality Corporation. That's an interesting project that's been in the plan the last two or three planning cycles. It's a group in Garza and Kent County that are planning and actually have drilled some wells to intercept the brine seeps that are coming up in salt and croton creeks that are creating a lot of the downstream TDS and salinity problems in the Brazos. They would pump that water, basically depressurize the springs so the water doesn't come out of the springs anymore, remove the salt from the water, and they would have fresh water to sell. And so the last planning cycle, the way this project was formulated, the way they asked us to put it in, they weren't going to be selling any water. They're basically going to have a zero discharge off the treatment unit. Now they think that they can make pretty much pure water as well as generate the salt that they're going to sell. And so they asked us to put in a strategy to move water to a couple of the cities out in that West Texas area. So Jayden and Post, which actually is in Region O, and there's one other city.
Aspremont,
thank you. Jayden, Aspremont, and Post could potentially receive water from this project. But we have it listed as an alternative, and it is pretty expensive water.
I think it's Spur to Post.
Spur, yes. I'm sorry, Spur. You're right. It's up. It's the most western or eastern part of the service area of the White River as the water. Thank you, Tom. It is pretty expensive water because we're moving what is relatively small amounts of water long distances. And that's, people ask, why does it cost so much water? Why does water cost so much out in rural Texas? Well, it's because sometimes we have to move small amounts of water long distances and makes that unit cost of that water pretty expensive. Stonewall County.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good. We have City of Aspremont has a modest projected shortage, manufacturing, and then mining. So looking at Aspremont, they can meet most of their shortages through these conservation efforts. But if you look kind of in the early part of the planning process, they would not be able to. So purchase water from the Salt Fork Water Quality Corporation is what they're recommending. It's a freshwater supply that those folks intend to make available. And it's just a matter of plumbing it up once they get the system built. And we have some alternatives. Some sort of augmentation of Miller's Creek Reservoir or the Lake Creek Reservoir project for North Central Texas Municipal Water Authority. That's a lot longer term project than what the Salt Fork Water Quality Corporation would be able to do. Into Stonewall County manufacturing, a little bit of conservation, and then just some groundwater development from the land aquifer. Just go ahead and develop some of those local groundwater supplies to meet those shortages. And then mining would be the same thing, just a little bit different bodies. So, Haskell County. Sud is shown as having sufficient supplies, just a small, very small surplus. But Fort Belknap, City of Graham, mining and irrigation and livestock has some shortages. So what do we have for a recommended plan for Fort Belknap? Their GPCD is less than 140, so we're not recommending any additional conservation for them. But we're having them in the plan purchase additional water from City of Grand, which is their neighbor who has some supplies they can sell. City of Grand, though, does have shortages. So sometimes we'll have folks buying water from a neighboring entity that has shortages, but if they have a larger shortage and need to build a larger project, then that project can meet both the needs of the owner of the project as well as the small amounts of water that have to be sold to the neighbors next door. So this is another kind of additional wrinkle on these tables. City of Graham would meet some of their shortages through conservation. Here's their remaining shortage after conservation. But then when we have it recommended that other entities purchase additional water from them as a recommended strategy, we'll also show this in the table. So additional water contracted to Fort Belknap further increases that shortage that City of Graham is going to have to develop. So the plan is to purchase water and develop a conveyance system from City of Throckmorton. Throckmorton has a project in the plan, Throckmorton Reservoir, that's going to provide them some additional water. Young County Mining, basically a little bit of conservation, or basically reduce their water use, and then develop some additional groundwater from the Cross Timbers Aquifer. This is a new source that we didn't have identified in the last planning cycle for the Cross Timbers. Our development board has just identified that formation as a minor aquifer system. And they're in the process of actually developing the groundwater availability model for it. So we'll have a better handle on supplies from the Cross Timbers than we have had in the past here in a couple years. Young County Irrigation developed some water out of the Cross Timbers and some demand reduction through irrigation conservation. And livestock, a little bit larger livestock demands, particularly in 2020. I'm not certain why the demands go down like they do. Some groundwater development starting in 2030, just utilize some additional Cross Timbers aquifer, but then we'll probably end up leaving this need in 2020 unmet. And this is one of the oddities of this planning cycle. What the board is asking us to develop plans for 2020 through 2030. So the 2021 plan is going to include a plan for 2020 a year earlier. I'm not sure why they've asked us to do that, but it does create some wrinkles in how we present things. So when you look at projects that we say need to be done by 2020, think of that as that project needs to be done between 2020 and 2030, probably closer to the 2025 or earlier timeframe. Any project we have identified as going in 2030 would be done by 2030, 2040 would be done by 2040. So we had a question yesterday about that. If they'd asked me, I would have said, let's not do 2020. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. How about Fisher County? Okay. And Jones County, I'm sure we want to. So Jones County, the City of Abilene's plan is going to be shown in the Taylor County plan, which will be some tables coming up. Most folks have projected surpluses, except for the good folks out in County Other, and then there's some mining and irrigation shortages. So looking at City of Hamlin, they're actually projected to have surpluses, but their GPCD is greater than 140. So we're recommending conservation to reduce their water demand. City of Stamford, same thing. And County Other, the GPCD for those folks that are out County Other is less than 140, so we're not recommending conservation, but then purchase some additional supplies from the City of Abilene. And Jones County Mining, essentially the same thing. Reduce water demands a little bit through reduced water use on the mine, and they have purchased additional supplies from the City of Abilene. Irrigation is same thing. They only have shortages really that can't be met by conservation in the first two decades of the planning cycle. And then Shackelford County. Okay. So the city of Albany is projected to have some small surpluses, county other. The only shortages that we're showing are for mining uses in the county. But we do have conservation recommended for city of Albany, and then we've got Fort Griffin Sud purchasing some additional supply from them as well. For mining uses, we're recommending, there's really no supplies out there that could economically be used to meet the mining needs, so we're recommending that the mining needs in the plan be shown as being in them. How about Stevens here? We have City of Breckenridge receiving water from West Central Texas. They've got a projected shortage. Fort Griffin Sud, that small 2-acre-foot shortage, we're recommending that they purchase water from City of Albany. And then everybody else has projected shortages except for mining and irrigation. So City of Breckenridge, we're recommending conservation to reduce their GBCD. Fort Griffin Sud, they're already above 100, already below 140 gallons per capita per day. We're recommending they purchase a little additional water from Albany. And mining, we're recommending after reducing some of the on-site mining uses to leave those needs unmet. We have no economical source of water that would be firmed through a drought of record that they can develop. And irrigation is very similar. Develop a little bit of additional water from some local groundwater supplies, but leave majority of those water needs unmet through a repeat of the drought of record. Palo Pinto County, we have City of Gordon and City of Mineral Wells both have some shortages. Possum Kingdom Water Supply Corporation and Sportsman's World Mud. And this is a lot of folks in Palo Pinto County go on to two tables. So looking at Palo Pinto County, City of Gordon, a little bit of conservation, and then purchase additional water from the City of Strong. And you know, these are draft numbers we put together, so a lot of time you'll see a highlighted area. It means we're still working out what the costs are going to be for that strategy or that project. So there are some holes in the information that we're presenting here, and we're trying to identify, yeah, we're still working on that, but we wanted to get this draft plan out the door this week. City of Minerals has some shortages. Once they hit 2030, their GPCD will be below 140. So they can save a little bit of water just in 2030. They still end up having a few thousand acre feet of projected shortages. We've got some folks that are going to be recommended to buy additional water from them. And their recommended project is additional supplies from essentially Lake Palo Pinto, where they get water from Palo Pinto County Municipal Water District, but it's the Turkey Peak Reservoir Project, which is an expansion of Lake Palo Pinto. And that's a project that the Water District has been pursuing. They've got their 4-4 permit, they've got their TCQ water right permit. They're working on final design for it right now. Possum Kingdom Water Supply Corporation, can meet some of their demands for conservation, and then we're recommending kind of redistributing some of the supplies from manufacturing interests over to Possum County. Basically just assume that some of the supplies that are available can be moved over. Santos Sud purchased additional supply way out in 2070, where they have their only shortage from City of Mineral Wells. Sportsman's World Mud redistributes some of the manufacturing supplies that we've assigned. City of Strong, same thing. City of Strong, we've got them developing some groundwater in New Rath County from the Trinity Aquifer. And we've got City of Gordon buying additional water from them, kind of increasing the amount that they would have to develop. And then County Other is purchasing additional water from City of Mineral Wells. And manufacturing interests purchasing additional water from Palo Pinto Municipal Water District Number 1, which is essentially City of Mineral Wells as well. And we have an alternative. They could tie on and start to utilize some effluent from the City of Mineral Wells. That's a supply that's there. each and every year. Could be a little more expensive maybe than just buying raw water from the reservoir. And then our alternative is just to leave those needs unmet. But that's not going to be the recommended. It'll just be an alternative. And irrigation, purchase additional water from the water district, and then leave, as an alternative, we could leave the needs unmet. But we do have water that's there, that's being developed, that could be utilized. Nolan County, sure everyone wants to. We've got shortages for just about every water municipal water user group in Nolan County. Well, first off, Bitter Creek, their GPCD is greater than, or, I mean, less than 140, so we don't have conservation recommended. Purchase additional water from City of Sweetwater. City of Roscoe, additional water from Sweetwater to meet their contract demand. And City of Sweetwater has some shortages as well, so we have the additional demands from Bitter Creek and Roscoe and a little bit from Nolan County Manufacturing increases what their shortage is. So one of the recommended strategies for them is to purchase water from Abilene, which we developed as part of the Cedar Ridge Reservoir Project that Abilene is pursuing. And then additional water from conjunctive use of Oak Creek. This is a strategy that we had. Sweetwater gets water from their Champion Wellfield, but also from Oak Creek Reservoir. Oak Creek Reservoir has a very limited yield. If they operate the reservoir and the groundwater system conjunctively, use surface water predominantly during wet times when they have it, save the groundwater for later use during dry times to fill in the gap, they can actually generate about 1,500 acre feet of additional water per year on average. So conjunctive operation is one strategy we're recommending for Sweetwater. We've been recommending that for the last two planning cycles at least. Manufacturing purchase a little bit of what they need that they can't be met through just demand reduction from Sweetwater. And mining is the same thing. And irrigation, some conservation, but then there's just not a lot of economical water out there to meet 5,000-6,000 feet of irrigation needs. So recommending that you're repeat a drought record that those needs go unmet until the rains return. And then Taylor County, City of Abilene's at the very top of the table. We've got projected shortages for City of Abilene based upon their current supply situation. A lot of these folks down here are City of Abilene customers as well, so the shortages kind of get translated down to them through Abilene. So recommended plan for the City of Abilene. They start off in 2030 with about 2,800 acre feet of shortage, progressing up to almost 19,000 acre feet of shortage. You can meet some of that through additional conservation. And then some of their shortages, we haven't put down the supply numbers yet on this, but some of their shortages is just due to needed additional treatment plant capacity. So that's one of the projects. And then the Cedar Ridge Reservoir Project would provide about 34,000 acre feet. It would end up being a supply for Abilene and for their regional customers. And we're still working on the actual costs for that right now. That's why we haven't shown them yet. For City of Lawn, water conservation, they don't have any shortages, but we're recommending they reduce their demands to reduce their GPCD now. City of Merkel, their GPCD is less than 140, so we're in the conservation recommended, but purchase additional water through their contract with the City of Abilene. And the Potosi Water Supply Corporation, same thing. Steamboat Mountain, same thing. City of Ty, we've got them purchasing a little additional water from Abilene. Ty would not be a new contract, it would just be an increase, right? Or is there already selling water to Ty now? I can't remember. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. You have a lot of wholesale customers that you sell water to. I can't remember mine at the table in front of me right now. View Caps meet some of their small shortages with purchase of water from Abilene. And for Taylor County, other, again, purchase of water from City of Abilene. Callahan County. City of Baird is a City of Abilene customer, and I think we've got some of those folks purchasing some additional water from Abilene. We do have some supplies come into Callahan County from Region F, which is the planning region to the south. Eastland County, really is showing...
David, you have a question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I don't see that.
Okay. Figured you did. Speedy Ranger.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're showing pretty much that the supply situation in Eastland County is pretty good based upon their demands and what we've identified as their current water supplies. Some shortages for mining is really about all we're showing. City of Cisco reduced their demands, GBCD through conservation. City of Ranger, same thing. Implement some advanced conservation things like outdoor water restrictions, that sort of stuff, to reduce your overall water usage. In terms of mining, develop a little bit of groundwater from the Trinity Aquifer. And then we're on to Johnson County. Any questions on? Anybody? Johnson County is one of our more complicated counties. We interact pretty closely with Region C, which is the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. A lot of the Johnson County entities get water from Region C, from Fort Worth, the Karen Regional, City of Arlington, and the City of Mansfield. But we also send water from Region G into the portions of Region C that are in Johnson County. So we have a lot of water going back and forth. And it's a coordination effort with the Region C technical consultant to make certain we get all the supplies right. Are we interested in going through Johnson County? Take us a while to get through these guys. Good County. So we're sort of getting to the southern edge of the area that we're at. ERAP? About Comanche. And that brings us into the mid-basin counties, and we're available to answer any questions or present any plans for any of the counties that are to the south and that he wants to see. And if there's no interest, then let me go on to the final part of the presentation. Talk a little bit about the wholesale water providers. A water user group can also be a wholesale water provider. So we have water user groups that are just water user groups. They don't sell wholesale water. All they are is retail water utilities. We also have water user groups that also act as wholesale water providers. City of Abilene is a prime example up here. They sell wholesale water to a number of entities surrounding the city. But then we also have also water providers that are just also water providers, such as West Central Texas Municipal Water District. We're in the process of developing the plans for our 10 also water providers right now, so Chris, I don't have anything to present to you right now. But when we look at their demands, we look at what their contractual obligations are, not what the demands of their customers are. So if they have a contractual commitment to deliver 1,000 acre feet of water to one of their customers, but their customers' demands are only 500 acre feet, we still have in the plan that they need to deliver that 1,000 because that is their contractual obligation to provide the water. So we'll kind of take a step back from that. And then occasionally they enter into contracts called meets contracts, or they agree to meet the needs of whoever they're selling water to. That's typically going to be the smaller contracts, going to be the meets contracts. And we're coordinating that now. Have more information at the February 12th planning group meeting. And then there, you notice up here in this region, we had several places where we're recommending that we just leave the needs unmet. And these next two slides are going to be a table of those counties and the user groups that we're recommending that needs being met. It's typically going to be irrigation, mining, and steam electric when we do that. There's no, sometimes for irrigation, there's just not an economical supply of water that can be developed where it would make sense to purchase that water. For steam electric, it's a little bit different story. Some of the water demands that were projected by the Water Development Board, we now have learned they've abandoned that plan to develop that generating capacity. But the demands are still in the plan. So we'll identify those as we're going to leave those needs unmet. That happens in Hill County. There was a project in Hill County that actually got the air permit for the plant. Then they decided through economics they didn't want to build that plant, abandoned it, sold the property. The property that they had intended to build that plant on now is a solar array. It was a whole lot of water to generate power. But the demands are still in the plan. We're just going to recommend that they be left unmet since there's no plan to actually develop that generating capacity. And that leads us to the end. Any comments, questions? If you have some questions specifically about your water user group, a wholesale water provider, the demands, the supplies that we've allocated out. We have that information on our laptops over here, and we're here as long as you guys want to stay in touch with us.
No questions? No comments? No suggestions? No ideas? All right, thank y'all for coming. Any of y'all have anything you want to say?
Oh, I echo what you said, and the point that Wayne made and also David made earlier was that many of the regions don't take this extra step of trying to get more information. So any ideas you have about how we can get more information to you and get more involvement, that becomes important because, as the mayor said, water is, when you drink whiskey, sort of want.
Thank y'all for coming. We appreciate it. We hope y'all have a great rest of the day. And like David said, if there's something that you want specific on, those two people or David can help you ferret that out. Thank y'all.
Thank you for your time.